The 18th Story, The Sorrows of a King. Concerning the latter years of David's reign, sad stories must be told. He was broken in health, and his mental powers were failing also. As he looked back over his long reign, the remembrance of certain things he had done during those years lay heavily upon his mind. He thought many times of the day when Saul had driven him from his court and into the wilderness and had tried to take his life because he feared that he would step in and take the throne away from his sons. How often David must have thought of this when his own sons grew up and each one of them wanted to be ruler over Israel. There were other things also that David remembered. When he was old and could not sleep during the long nights, he could not drive from his mind the memory of the sin he had committed before the Lord when he stole Uriah's wife, and perhaps he felt that the ingratitude and crimes of his sons were sent him as a punishment. What must have been his remorse? Sin itself may be forgiven, even forgotten, but no man yet has ever escaped the consequences. They came back to him through his children and his children's children. As there is no love like that which the father and mother bestow upon their children, so also there is no suffering like that which they feel when their children do evil unto them. It was so with David. He saw his own faults and sins looking at him from the eyes of his sons. The king's trouble on account of his sons did not end with the death of Absalom. David grieved so for Absalom that Joab, his captain, came to him and said, "You shame your servants who have this day saved your kingdom and your life. Wouldst thou have been better pleased had Absalom lived and all thy princes and thy brave officers perished? Stop grieving for thy unworthy son. Come forth and reassure thy people. If you do not, I swear that not a man will remain by you. That will be the worst thing that could befall you." So David ceased lamenting. He rose and sat by the gate again, and all the people came and paid him honor. Now that Absalom was dead, they began asking him why he did not return to Jerusalem. At last, all the men of Judah, over whom David had reigned in Hebron for 7 years, sent word as one man, saying, "Return with all your servants." David did so. When he reached the banks of the Jordan, the men of Judah met him at Gilgal and saw him safely across the river and on his way back to Jerusalem. But if David thought his troubles were over, he was mistaken. No sooner was Absalom dead than Adonijah, the next oldest son, thought he would like to be king in his father's place. David was fond of this son also, and he had never controlled him. He had never said to him, "Why have you done this or that thing?" All his life Adonijah had done whatever pleased him, and now he thought he would do as he pleased once more. He would take away his father's throne. The first thing he did was to begin living like a prince. He had his chariot and his horsemen and his servants. Joab, the captain, who had by no means forgotten that David had appointed Amasa to lead the army against Sheba, persuaded Abiathar, the priest, to join him, and together they forsook David and followed Adonijah, who thought that with the aid of both his father's captain and his priest, he would surely be successful. One day Adonijah made a great feast. He invited all his brothers, the princes, all the men of his father's court, except David, his younger brother Solomon, and Nathan, the prophet, who was not at all pleased with Adonijah's doing. When the company had gathered and it was time to sit down to the feast, Joab sat down at Adonijah's right hand and Abiathar at his left. Suddenly they all stood up and shouted, "Long live King Adonijah!" Word of all this was quickly carried to Nathan, and he hastened away to find Bathsheba, David's wife. "Hast thou heard," he said, "that Adonijah has been made king? Does David know of it? Hath he done this thing without our knowledge? Hearken therefore to my counsel. If thou wouldst save thy life and the life of thy son Solomon, do as I tell thee. Go at once to the king. Remind him of his promise to thee that thy son Solomon should be king after him. Go in haste." So Bathsheba hastened to the apartments of the king and threw herself at his feet. After Bathsheba had spoken, Nathan came in and told the same story. "My lord, the king," he said, bowing to the ground, "hast thou said Adonijah shall be king? Hast thou done this thing and not showed it unto thy faithful servant?" Then said David to Bathsheba, "As the Lord liveth, who hath redeemed me from all my adversaries, Solomon, your son, shall be king after me. He shall sit upon my throne. This he shall do this day." Then turning to Nathan, the king said, "Take my servants with you. Let Solomon, my son, ride upon my own mule. Bring him to the Gihon spring, and when he is there, let Zadok, the priest, and Nathan, the prophet, pour the sacred oil upon his head and anoint him king over all Israel. Then blow the trumpet loud and say, 'Long live King Solomon!'" Nathan did as the king had commanded. He took with him Zadok and Benaiah, set the young Solomon on the king's mule, and brought him to Gihon. When they arrived, the priest took the horn of precious oil and poured it on Solomon's head. Then they blew the trumpet as David had commanded, and all cried, "Long live King Solomon! May his throne be greater than the throne of our Lord King David." When the king heard that all had been done according to his wish, he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath given one of my descendants to sit upon my throne this day, my eyes seeing it." Just as Adonijah and his guests were finishing the feast, they heard the blare of trumpets and the sound of shouting. They sprang to their feet and asked, "Who blows the trumpet? And what meaneth the noise and shouting?" Then Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came running to his father and said, "David hath made Solomon king. Zadok and Nathan have anointed him. He hath taken his seat on the throne of Israel. All the people are rejoicing and shouting, 'Long live King Solomon!'" Adonijah and his followers were filled with terror. They got up from the feast and fled, every man to his own house. Adonijah thought he would surely be put to death. So instead of going to his own house, he fled to the altar beside the ark of God, thinking that Solomon would not slay him there. Word of this was brought to Solomon. "See," they said, "Adonijah fears King Solomon. Behold, he hath caught hold of the horns of the altar and hath said, 'Let King Solomon swear to me that he will not slay his servant with a sword.'" Then the young king sent word to his brothers, saying, "If thou shalt show thyself a worthy man, not a hair of thy head shall be touched. But if thou art wicked, thou shalt surely die." Then Solomon sent for his brother, and when he had come to him, he said to him, "Go in peace." David continued to watch over the affairs of his kingdom while he lived, but he did not live long after Solomon became king. He had lived out his life. He was about 75 years old and had reigned over Israel for more than 40 years.